welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
To God be the glory. I just love the Lord. I praise the Lord. And once you taste and see that the Lord is good, ain't no turning back. Hallelujah. I want to just thank and praise the Lord again for being here. I thank and praise the Lord for some of those that still sticking this afternoon, so it's a repeat. You know, I give honor to God and reverence to pulpit of minister pastor Deacon Nix and the official deacon board and trustee board and officers, members, and friends. That's what we said. You cover everybody, lottie dottie everybody. Okay, and I'm just happy. In case you see, I have a little more spark. I have a little more spark, because you know who I talked about this morning, right? Well, there he is right there. And then a portion of my family and my friends and loved ones and this Grace to Grace members, Mount Zion members, and I just thank and praise the Lord. Then I saw my niece and my nephew and my brand new, my great nephew who just turned 13. Hey! That is such a surprise. To God be the glory. It's just wonderful, you know, that you take your time out, you took your time out from your schedule, you know, just to be here today. Oh, I just bless the Lord. You know, so I'm saying good morning, but it is this afternoon. Okay, so I'll make that correction. And also, mother figures and all those that played a role in helping to mother. To hickle, my other niece just came in too. God bless you, you know. Okay. Well, happy Mother's Day to you again. And I pray that, you know, that the Lord would, you know, continue to minister to me and, you know, through me, because he's merciful. And one thing, not about it, without the Lord, where would we be? Where would we be? So if you bear with me for a moment. Turn to Proverbs chapter 31, okay? And this time, I'm going from the King James Version, okay? Chapter 31, verses 10 through 31. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Let's take a note for a minute. Those of you that can that have hands, whether you have both use of your hands or one use of your hand, can you do this? Some fingers work? Okay, just remember, the strength comes from the flow, but it comes to the hands. Need those hands to do some things, okay? I said I put a footnote. What did I do? Now what did I forgot? Okay. Verse 13, thank you. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand, she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretches out her hand to the poor, yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excelleth them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again we come thanking you and praising you for an opportunity, Lord God, to minister through your word. Lord God, we know that apart from you, we can do nothing. So I ask that you hide Yolanda behind the cross of Calvary, that you would let me decrease and your Holy Spirit increase, Lord God, that the words that come out of my mouth would be what you would have and would be acceptable in your sight. So we praise you, Lord. We thank you, and we say to the adversary that there's no dominion, no room for you here, and you're under our feet. So we praise you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I have a question. Has anyone ever asked you or come to you to ask you, what do you think I should do about this? Or, you know, or your own self got faced with a situation, a circumstance, something happened, and you say, what do I do? What is the first thing most of us do? Pick up the phone and call somebody. Okay, now this might sound corny, but I just thought about that old, yes, I'm dated. You know, who are you going to call? Those near my age know who it is. You were a baby. You were a baby. Ghostbusters. We all call somebody else. But for the most part, do we first call on the Lord? Do we ask the Lord? You know, James says, if any man lacks what? Wisdom. Let him ask of God, who gives freely, and he doesn't hold back. But a lot of times we don't think that we can do that. We can. He said, pray without ceasing. That means anything we need, any thought, no matter what, we should never be afraid to go to the Lord in prayer. We should never be afraid to ask the Lord. Because, matter of fact, Jesus told the disciples in John 16:24, he said, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask in my name, or ask that your joy may be full or complete. There's a song that says, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything, not some things, but everything to God in prayer. You know, and think about it. We go through some turmoil amidst the good things. But in the midst of our turmoil, and we wring our hands, or we're going to tell someone else, when all we got to do is take it to the Lord. And he can give us peace. He can calm the storm in our lives just like that. Well, again, here's another thought. Or maybe now it's not a thought. It's something that you may proceed to do. Go to the Word of God. Go to the Bible. I said earlier that I asked the question, I said, have you considered the Old Testament as a guidebook to see how men and women of old reacted or lived or thought or how they behaved? Most of us don't do it. Sometimes we just read it. Either we're going to Bible study, we're studying, or we read it, or we got to, hey, I read the Bible today, boom, that's it. Amen. But sometimes we don't really stop and think totally of why we read it. But let me tell you, it's not a regular book. It's a regular book if that's what you want it to be. But as a believer, it's your guide. It's your rule book for living. And then Psalm 32:8 says, I will teach you and guide you in the way in which you should go. So Proverbs, Ecclesiastics, and Solomon, these books were written by King Solomon, who was one of the wisest, person on earth. No one else will have that wisdom and understanding that God gave him. But that is what he prayed for, and God gave him more than what he asked for, primarily because he didn't ask for material things. He just asked for wisdom and understanding. Why do you think he did that? Because Solomon was a mess. Solomon was like most of you and I. Yes, right. I know that there's some people here that they ain't never did nothing. Right. I've been in church all my life. I was raised up in church. I know the Bible through and through. Sister so-and-so did that. I don't know why they would do the brother so-and-so. I don't do those things. But guess what? I bet they thought it. Oh, come on. We know the deal. I mean, that's reality. Okay? So we can take a look at Proverbs, and we can see how the people of old acted and realize we are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I don't care what flesh we are. I don't care what nationality we are. We all have the same foundation. We're born in sin, and we're shaped in iniquity. But thank God that you and I are blessed to be on this side of the cross. They were on that side of the cross. So when you look at the Old Testament, when you look at the Psalms, the Proverbs, and Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, and just about any book in the Old Testament, you can get a general idea of thought processes. You can start at the beginning. There's some people that don't even know the creation story. And I'm going to tell you, if you don't understand the creation story, you'll never really understand yourself. Okay? Your major emotion started right in the beginning with Adam and Eve. So, when you get to the book of Proverbs, and it's called wisdom literature. Wisdom is in the feminine gender. That's why when you stop and think about it, a man needs a woman and a woman needs a man. Okay, I already said earlier that, the man didn't need a woman to be born because God created him in his image, the exterior part of the earth, from the elements. But we were born from within. But the woman wasn't there then. And the man was nothing but an image, a likeness. But the man didn't become a living soul until God breathed breath into his body. And in the New Testament, Jesus came through the womb of a virgin woman without the use of a man. So we got some balance going on. God knows what he's doing. Sometimes we want to, what's that book? Think like a man, act like a woman, act like a man. Wait. Steve Harvey, I love Steve Harvey, tell you the truth, because he's who he is. And can't nobody take his relationship away from him? Sometimes we Christians, we so holy. Come on, y'all. Christians, we some of the meanest people there is. And I know that to be right. Okay, I do. But I tell you what, I was young once. I was middle-aged once, and now I'm a seasoned saint. So I could tell you the good, the bad, and the ugly, okay? But guess what? The God I serve, the Savior that has wrapped me up, tied me up in his life, untangled the mess in my life, okay? He gave me peace in my latter years. So he restored my youth in my latter years. Now my body haven't caught up to it, but guess what? As long as my mind know it and I know it, I just proceed with caution. Now, I probably forgot what I was going to say. But I was trying to show you how that all you had to do is take your time and really, really, honestly, if you just look at how people act in the oil and even how God responded to them, okay, especially the children of Israel, he loved, they were chosen people. They did, Psalm 107 will let you know, they were always doing opposite of what God wanted. Yeah. And no matter what they did, no matter what they did, whenever they went back to the Lord and said, what did he do? He helped them. Now, if you think, if God, the Father, could operate in the people of old, the children of his people, his chosen people of old, then, because you didn't see the whole Jesus Christ in the old, okay, of course he was concealed. If God can operate and deliver them from so many things and from their own stuff, then what do you think about you? That's why you have the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. You're under the covenant of grace, the blood. It was, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus has satisfied your sin question and my sin question, past, present, and future. Because no matter how you try, the blood of goats and all that stuff, even the priest, the high priest, when he had to go in and make atonement for the sins of the people, he had to first confess his sins and make sure his heart and attitude was right before the Lord and that the Lord would accept his sacrificial offering before he could do that. If not, he would die on the spot. So none of that worked. But God, because he loved us, had a major plan for you and for me. And that plan was redemption, reconciliation, brought back by the blood of Jesus Christ. So that's why he gave us his only son. For God, a lot of the children today don't even know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but shall have everlasting life. For God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So sometimes people come up and give their hand to the Lord and get their heart, they're pricked, they're convicted. They want a taste of the Lord. And sometimes they come up and we greet them all nice and we can be all nice. The next thing you know, they see the real deal. So some come in the church and go right back out the church. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. The very place that they need to feel welcome. Because you can't change my life, and I can't change your life. And it's a wonderful thing to be called out of darkness into the marvelous light of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to be able to preach a word of life into a sin-sick soul. Because none of us deserve salvation. All of us sin. But Christ died in that while we were yet sinning, because God commended his love towards you and towards me. So when we get all frustrated, we don't know what to do, we don't understand about what to do, we need to go through the word and then go to examples. The examples let us say, gives us hope. It gives us hope. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So therefore, it's a God book. It's a rule book for you and I. And like Earl, I was saying, I had a Bible study teacher. Sunday, you know, when I gave my heart to the Lord and Deacon told me to, you know, come to, you know, class and all that stuff. And I was going to class, and I must have been looking good, you know. But I tell you what, so I added a little change today. And somehow or another, I must have got the teacher's eye. Next thing you know, I was mad to the teacher. But first he put me out of class. And let me tell you, I could teach Steve Harvey's book. Because, see, I had made up my mind about that anyway. Because here's a secret for you young ladies. No cookies. Okay. I'm telling you the truth. Okay. Moving right along. You know, the Lord has a sense of humor. In case you didn't know it. You know, if you want prunes, go to the store, buy some and eat them. Eat them raw or cook them. They'll do a job to help straighten you out. Okay. Lord, I'm sorry. Anyway, this Bible study teacher told me, he said, the Bible is for your, the Old Testament is for your information and not your participation. In other words, you'll be able to glean insights and you'll learn some things about how God operated through humanity and that will be able to help you. But just remember, even with the book of Proverbs and Psalms and all, it will help give you wisdom, help give you understanding. But just remember, the majority of the time when you're reading this, you're reading it from a human perspective. You're reading it from a perspective of not being delivered, okay? You're looking at it from a perspective of being under the S-U-N and not under the S-O-N. Okay, but now being under the S-O-N, you could look at how people lived under the S-U-N, and you could say, okay, you could make a choice. If this happened to them because they did this, then what's going to happen to me? You could make some decisions here, okay? Now, if you're not married and you outdating and all that kind of stuff, you know, and it don't seem to be working out, then you say, well, where's your confidence at? Confidence in an unfaithful man in the time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Okay? Hey, where'd that come from? The proverb. It's in the Bible. It's in there. I thought I was deep. But I was going through some dark water sometime. I may think I made some poor choices. Okay? And one day, it's like this here thought just rolled on by my brains. I said, well, where'd that come from? You know, well, I was deep. Thank you, you know. But that's what it was. And I found out several years later after I dedicated my life to the Lord and, you know, let him turn me around, that is, I found out it was in Proverbs. And I think it was 26:19, somewhere around there. It's in there twice, okay? So the challenge is you can go look for it. So if y'all need to know something, go to the Word. You know, just remember, who is your creator? If you have a car, what does the car dealer, your brand of car, what do they recommend that you do? Take your car back to the dealer. Why? Because the dealer is the one, the manufacturer. The manufacturer is the one that knows about the vehicle that they manufactured. Well, God made you. God knows you better than you know yourself. That's why you don't have to worry about, trying to be all this, that, and the other. If you put your trust in the Lord, like Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thy own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. You know, he said, I will teach you and guide thee in the way in which you should go in Psalm 32:8. If you do that, you won't have questions in life. And some of your trials will be minimal. But most of our troubles is our own. Come on. Out. But that's the truth. You know, sometime y'all had less TV, less gossip. Just take a little time with Jesus. The old songs, it's an old song, but let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our trouble. He'll hear our humble cry, and he'll answer by and by. Now, that's an old song. But you could take that same old song, and you can apply it but here won't be by and by. If you are committed and walking with the Lord, walking in faith and not by sight, when you ask the Lord, he will answer you. He will. Matter of fact, you love the Lord, you can think on a need, and the Lord will meet that need. Oh, I'm telling you. It's really hard to believe if you have not experienced it, okay? You could be in, like I said, some dangerous situations, and the Lord will deliver. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And it goes on, but it says, and he delivers me out of all my troubles. Okay? And that's true. I bet if we went through here, it'd be testimony after testimony after testimony of the mighty delivering hands of God. And oh yes, sometimes things happen. Tragedies, they hurt. You know, things that are shocking, but it's life. But do you think God didn't know about it? Do you not think that if he decided, he allowed it for whatever reason he allowed it for. And so you've got to build yourself up in the most holy faith. You got not to think that the word of God is just a story and something to come in and clap, 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 no, and then move right along. Because just like, I bet you when y'all go out, y'all all happy, right? I bet you don't be a half hour before you get out somewhere. Somebody done pluck your nerve. Okay. Come on. You know, but if you saturate yourself, with the word of God and the spirit of God, and you just surrender, let you sit on the chair and you expect the chair to hold you. Rest in Jesus. He said, come unto me, all you are heavy laden and weary, and I will give you rest. He said, to take my yoke upon you. And learn of me. He said, take my yoke. In other words, look, I'm giving you my yoke, but I'm going to carry your burden. But you won't understand that if you don't learn of me, if you don't learn about me. I challenge you to sit down in one setting and read a gospel of your choice and see how Jesus ministered to the people. It was the gospel of John. I sat down and read the gospel of John in one setting prayerfully. And I came through there. I was afraid of dying because I was always sickly. And the Lord healed me and healed my body. And he healed me and delivered me from the fear of death. Okay? And then I kept going. I'm reading. And then I began to see the hand of the Lord with you. Then I saw Mary. I saw when he was going to the cross. And as Jesus was going to the cross, Mary, his mother, was watching. And all of a sudden, I started crying. I cried because I'm crying for this mother who sees her son hanging on the cross, humiliated, being tantalized. And you know what was happening at the cross? It was a shameful thing. But Jesus was on the cross for you and for me. And he hung in shame, but he didn't say a mumbling word. He didn't say, take me down. Matter of fact, when they wanted to give him vinegar to kind of maybe desensitize the pain, he wouldn't take it. But he did it for you, and he did it for me. And so I'm seeing all this. I'm seeing it's a reality, y'all. And then, next thing you know, a couple days later, you know, when he gave up the gay ghost, I felt like a mother saying, it's over. It's done. It's hopeless. The disciples got hopeless. It's done. All that we went through was for naught. But all that happened 3 days. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. But everything he said, he prepared them for his death. He prepared them for his resurrection, but they did not understand it. It's just like King Lemuel's mother, who really was Solomon, but they just don't know it. Bathsheba. Bathsheba told Solomon, look, you're going to be a king, and this is the way a king should be. A king should not do. A king is not a common person. You don't need to mess your mind up with a bunch of strange women. You don't, because it takes away your energy. You don't need to mess yourself up with a whole lot of alcoholism and stuff, because it desensitizes and it changes the way you should think. He said, but you are a king. You're going to be a king, and you need to act like a king. Well, how many know that you belong to the King of Kings? Hallelujah. The Lord of Lords. So you got to act like a king's child. Hallelujah. 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 But you know how that goes. We got to have the word of God because we're hard-headed. Yeah. We're just like the children of Israel. We know to do good, but we still don't do so good. We conquer some things, and we mess up on other things. But thank God for the grace of God. Thank God we've been accepted in the beloved. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus Christ came so that you and I might have life, and that more abundantly, that we won't go around beating ourselves up every time we make a mistake. We, you know, a bird does what? Fly. A dog barks. A cat meows. Sinners sin. We are sinners. And if we say we don't sin, we're lying and not telling the truth. But thank and praise the Lord for the Holy Spirit in us, because the Holy Spirit will help us. All we got to do is say, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Because the Apostle Paul said, when I want to do right, evil is always with me. He said, oh, wicked man that I am, help me, deliver me. Paul, look at the teaching that Paul gave us. Paul struggled every day. There ain't no supersonic saints. But the thing about it is, we had to have a determination. We had to have a made-up mind. Okay, and in that way, we could be like the virtuous woman. Because most of us, if I ask you, would you consider yourself to be a virtuous woman? Or a virtuous man? How many people would say yes? The ones that were here this morning, y'all know the deal. But guess what? I wouldn't think that I was a virtuous woman. Okay? No way. No shape. Not even today. You understand? I love the Lord and do the best I can to live the life. But guess what? I don't try. Because it's not in me by myself. But I trust the Lord. I trust the Lord. I said, Lord, you know where you saved me from. You know what you took me from. I had nothing to do with it because I was enjoying myself. Okay? I was having myself a good time. But the Lord saw fit to pluck me out, call me out, and deliver me from myself. So with that, all I can say is, Lord, Paul said, he who has begun a good work in me, he will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So the bottom line is, let the Lord do the work in your life. Be who you are. You're human. The Old Testament lets us know just how human we are. Okay? And we're saying, but you have to have the mind to say, I can't follow the Lord if I don't take time with him. Now, okay, I have to be very sensitive here, so I'll think about the husband and wife. Husband and wife, y'all get mad because you love each other, right? Is that an amen? I hope you love each other. Hello? Help me out here. Okay, it's okay to be in love. You know, as an old song said, I'm in love and I'm all shook up. And when you have a good love relationship, you'll be shook up the majority of your life. Like I said, I've been married 39 years. We have our ups and we have our downs, but I shake him up and he shakes me up. Hey, hallelujah. And young folk, it's good to know that, because sometimes you see people when they get 70 and say, hey, they supposed to roll over and play dead. No, I ain't playing dead till I'm done. And I tell you, you know, that's the truth, you know. And we're going to talk about the virtuous woman's hand, right? Give her of the work of her own hand. Let her own hands praise her in the gate. Yeah. I'm going to tell you about hands. How about your hands? You know, your hands do a whole lot of things. Yeah, you can spank somebody if they're misbehaving. Hey, y'all. What y'all talking about? I'm talking about children. I don't know where your minds are at. Woo! Lord. In my former life, I could have been a comedian, okay? You know, or you can help somebody walk. You can, you know, you can guide them. You can fix their food. You can, you know, work. Find your passion. To know what to do with your hand, because even as women, we're entrepreneurs basically naturally, because wisdom is in the feminine gender. And so if a man finds a good wife and a wife that uses the wisdom and they communicate together, they will prosper because it's in her hands. It's in her hands. Okay? It's really in your hands. And what you do, I don't know, I almost messed myself up here now. I'm sorry. Woo, Jesus, have mercy. Oh. Lord have mercy. Okay. So anyway, it's in the hands. Okay. It's in the hands. It's in the hands. Okay. Well, we're going to have to come on down, but you know, because she's, what is her value? A virtuous woman, and I didn't say what a virtuous woman is. If I did, I didn't say it so much I forgot. So I had to repeat. A virtuous woman is a virtuous woman is a woman of strength, a woman of courage, a woman that sees something that needs to be done, and she's going to put her hand, reach her hands to do it. She's going to make things better. Whatever she can do to help, she's going to help. You understand? Let me tell you, the hands, you can lay hands of healing. Yeah. You can, like sometimes you have your children. Like I said, they might be a little naughty. You might have to tap them a little bit, you know. But the bottom line is you use your hands for the good. Yeah. Now, the question is, whose hands do we entrust our hands to? Yeah. Okay? Because hands in this text is seven times. There's seven instances of the use of hands in this text. Yeah. There's 7 days a week. When you wake up in the morning, or whenever you wake up, okay, who do you trust your hands to? That's the question, okay? This woman's children rose up and called her blessed. When you reach your hands out to your family and loved ones, do you think they're blessing you, or will they be cursing you? And if that's the case, we all make mistakes. Like I said, I was a hollerer. I didn't know certain things. You don't know what you don't know. But when you learn better, you do better. It was the word of God that helped me do better. I studied everything about a woman in the Bible. And my model and my mentors is Esther and Ruth. I learned how to speak. I learned how to communicate. A lot of times, relationships don't work out because we don't communicate right. And everybody got to be right. If two people going at it like this, who's right? Only the person that thinks they're right, and that's nobody is right. You know, so we have to learn new behavior. And I'll say it again. Garbage in, garbage out. If all that goes into your head and mind is garbage, where is the room for the word of God? The Bible says if you have accepted Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting on the right hand of the Father. In other words, you're dead and your life is hidden in Christ, and you are allowing the Holy Spirit to grow in you and through you. But the Holy Spirit has to be fed, and the Holy Spirit is fed through the word of God, okay? But it's practical living, y'all. It's just practical, okay? Anyway, what do we say? The focal verse is favor is deceitful. Thank you, baby. Favor is deceitful, okay? And beauty is vain. But a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gate. It's in her own works, okay? In other words, it's not what somebody else did. It's what you saw or what you have in your heart and your hands and mind to do, and then you put your hands to let it come to fruition. Yeah. And then you can look back and say, man, I can't believe I did that. Right. But sometimes you won't do things because you get afraid. Yeah. But guess what? Yeah. The virtuous woman, she negated her fears. Okay, if anybody in here know that there's something that you should be doing and you haven't done it, say, Lord, in my humanity, I'm afraid, but I trust you. Help me to rise above my fears. Help me. I was always afraid. I was a chicken hearted. Matter of fact, my mouth would kept me out of a lot of fights. I would pump my mouth and, you know, hey, gift of gab. You know, I was sending wolf tickets. Okay, But I'd be afraid. Or I sent so many good wolf tickets that I didn't have to worry about it. And I had so many friends that one time I was supposed to have a fight. And I was so scared. I was so scared. I said, oh, geez, they're going to be beat up now, you know. But I had the gift of gab. And, honey, when I got out of school, I goes, no, I got this. Fought my battle for me. Hallelujah. Well, guess what? I got Jesus now. And Jesus fights my battle. Hallelujah. So I'm telling you the truth. You know, oh, my God. Anyway, note, the text says what? Favor is deceitful. Now, is that saying that people can act like they care for you? You know how people say, I love you, and they want to be. Sometimes the one that's sticking close to you, got to be careful, could be your enemy. Everybody that say that they love and care for you ain't your friend. Sometimes there's an ulterior motive. Not all the time, but you got to watch it. Okay? All right? You know, so, hey, he said, they're your best friend forever. You know, but you got to watch. And if you got a handsome man or a handsome woman, you got to watch out. I see how that happened, too. I used to have people come laughing in my face one time. Honey, please, I knew the deal. But I ain't had to worry about nothing. Because, see, I don't have no fear now. Okay? I tell them like the CIA is right there. You know? And I don't worry about it. You know? At any rate, okay. Basically, what it's saying is it's a warning and it's something to pay attention to when people always act like they love you. But in most instances, people are genuine. So, but take care. You'll be able to discern. If somebody, that's, the Holy Spirit will give you discernment. I can tell you my enemies. I can tell you my friends. And I can tell you, I'm telling you, the Lord let you know. Okay? Now, does that mean I don't care nothing about them? I care. Because sometimes people are like they are because they don't know any better. And they really don't mean any harm. So we have to love them in the midst of it. And if they step to you wrong, just tell them. Either like it or you don't. Don't be afraid to hurt their feeling. You can tell them nice. That's what I do. Most people know me. Okay, it's out there, okay? Because I care. I'm not going to walk around with nothing in my heart against you. If I got it, I'm going to tell you. And if you don't like, tell me. I'll say, look, come back at me. Okay? Deceitful means guilty of involving deceit, deceiving or misleading others. Now it says beauty is vain, right? Beauty is defined as a combination of qualities such as shape, color, or form that pleases the aesthetic or the eyes, the senses, you know, especially the sight. It is a combination of qualities that pleases the intellect or moral senses. Some people are caught up, they look so good, you know, they're caught up with their self, you know, and they think they're all that in a bag of chips. I used to be there. I was small, thin. I was fine, honey. I just knew it. I said, when I did get saved, the Lord helped me get a little hefty there and make me kind of slow my roll. But vain is having or showing an excessively high opinion of one's ability or worth, okay? The virtuous woman was a woman of quiet yet courageous strength. She did not let fear overtake her or any of her possible limitations. In her time, women were not permitted to be very visible because their primary function was the home. Make babies, take care of the household, that's it. And in some instances, a lot of them couldn't even have education, okay? And like I said earlier, in some cases, especially because the black church especially was raised off of bits and parts of the gospel for the most part. So they meant well, they believed well, but they took the scriptures totally literally without doing the exegetical of necessities of understanding the wholeness of the picture. So women in the church were not counted. You don't preach. How many women's days have you been to that women had to preach from the side? They weren't allowed in the pulpit. And there's some ministers like that today. So we have come as old. It was an old commercial, another old commercial. We've come a long way, baby. Okay, now some of y'all know what that commercial was, but it's the truth. But the Lord has brought us a mighty long way. And she used the strength that God had given her, and she rose above her own dilemmas, you know, at that time. So just like she overcame, you and I can overcome. Just like her actions, her worth, her work, her ability to be an entrepreneur, to market her goods and to do and to be a professional seamstress and everything. All that took place to help her increase the family wealth. And it was hard work, but she did it. She was not idle. And I thank and praise God. Like I said, I had to take my hands. I had to repent to the Lord and say, Lord, help me. You know, help me do better with my hands, okay? And some of you may have to do the same thing. Help you, especially before this message. The Lord dealt with me so much about that, I said I had to do something, you know, so I wouldn't be up here telling a lie, you know. You know. But at any rate, give her of the fruit of her praise, of her works. I am not going to stand before you long. I went off the beaten trail, but I went where I believe the Lord will have me to go. If I don't have anything else to say to you, my goal and my job is to point you to the Lord, to point you to a saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to point you to recognize that I don't care what you go through in life, you know, you will never grow intimately with the Lord without taking private time with him. When I was talking about husband and wife, I just meant the same time that you take, like with that husband and wife relationship or what have you, you have to take that same time with the Lord. You have to eat the word of God and go before him and develop an intimate relationship with the Lord. And let me tell you one thing, that makes the Lord happy. And when you do that, and when you understand who you are in the Lord, when you understand your role not only as a woman but even as a man, let me tell you, men, Father's Day is coming up. And I know a lot of times, you know, you don't get the credit that's due you all for all that y'all do and all that y'all go through and everything. But God has a word for you too, just like he did for Adam. Adam blew it because Adam loved the creature more than he did God, which means the creature that he was talking about was Eve. You know, because when he saw Eve, you know, let's face it, things was happening that had never happened before, okay? And so today, that's one of the men's problems today. Most men get in problem for that same thing, okay? You know, and so the bottom line, I will tell you this, okay? If you feel burdened down sometime, if you don't feel like you have that you're cared for, just remember, a man that surrenders totally to the Lord, forgets about what the other man say, or what my boy say, or whatever, or what anyone say, you take your burdens to the Lord. You write it down, and you say, Father, I come to you. You made me first, so I'm coming back to you. I put the woman first. I put my wife first, but I'm putting you first. Show me how to deal with my wife. Show me how to deal with my household. You show me, but I'm sorry for where I missed the mark, and I guarantee you, I guarantee you, things will start happening in your life that you can't imagine. As a counselor, I have seen it. As a counselor, the Lord had this young man that came in, and I'm closing. He came in, and him and his wife had broke up for 6 months. He came in every day. He was talking. The guy was so colorful. But it was amazing. The Lord would have me. I took him through the creation story for him to understand the role of a man and a woman, and how things started, and how sin entered. And I said, you see, he put that woman before God, and that's where his fellowship began to wane with God, okay? That's what happened with men. Most men that fall in love, that's all they really, that's where they go. I mean, you know, that woman is it, okay? But the bottom line, the Lord says, just like you fell in that woman that I gave you, fall in love with me. You fall in love with me. You're the head of your household. You know, it should not be your wife telling you everything to do, nagging you and all that kind of stuff. They ain't going to tell you that they nag. Somebody say, she just a nag. Or they go and retreat somewhere and don't say nothing, okay? But the bottom line is, Lord, show me how to treat that wife. You teach me how to be your man. And I'm surrendering myself to you. You write it down, you date it, and then you say, now, Lord, I got this need, that need, this bill is due, that bill is due, and you watch the Lord. I'm telling you what I have witnessed. I'm telling you the Lord had me minister to this young man and told me to tell him what to do. The young man did it. Within 3 months, the Lord took him from a bankrupt state, had the mortgage, his rent. They gave him free rent, his gas, a lot of stuff. So what I'm saying to you is he started walking back with the Lord after he repented. And one day I came for my appointment, and guess what? Him and his wife was sitting there. So I'm telling you what I know. Don't believe the lies of the world. The devil is the father of lies. And if you are not in the word of God, you're going to feed on the lies of the devil. That's just where it's at. You know, so I can say to God be the glory. He's wonderful. He's merciful. But he will give you the fruit of your own hands. And if your hands are in the hands of the Lord, you can make it. Because Mahalia Jackson used to sing a song. He's got the whole world in his hands. He got you and me, brother, you and me, sister, in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. Does the Lord have you in his hands? God bless you. Sometimes all of us need a fresh touch from the Lord. Sometimes we just have to go back and check ourselves. Just like we look in the mirror and we see a dominant face. Well, we need to look in the mirror of the word of God. And the mirror of the word lets us know just how much we need the Lord. Just remember, it's only three things. God is holy, man is a sinner, and man needs a savior. That's it. You know, and it's a faith walk. It's not a walk that I can see you, you or you. It's a faith walk. But when you go out this building and when you look up in the sky, you see the elements that God has created that no human hands could make. Well, the one that created the elements created you and I. And he's bidding you to come. Not only is he bidding you to come, he's saying, if you belong to me, act like it. If you belong to me, surrender all your stuff to me. I can help you. It's not going to be overnight. But I could take you from where you are to where I desire you to be. So if you have not received the Lord, that would be the first call. Come up and just by faith, give the Lord your heart. The doors of this church, the Church of the Redeemer, is open. And I'm sure that if it's somewhere else that you feel you may need to go, they would give you, you know, they would recommend or what have you. But just come and make that statement of faith. Yeah. Then number two, if you know that you're not where you should be, but something's tugging on the inside and saying, you know what, I just need a touch from the Lord. Don't worry about eyeballs. Eyeballs don't mean anything. Because the people that will be looking at you, guess what? Doing the same thing or may need the same thing. But we get caught up with people and worrying about people and what somebody's going to say. Don't worry about people. Be concerned about what God has to say for you. Because one day we're going to stand before him. And will he say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. The third call is if you just want to just come back up and have a quiet talk with the Lord. Whatever. Just know that the Lord loves you. And if you don't have the mind to come, before you go to bed tonight, just say, Lord, I've been thinking. I know I need to divide some of my time because I'm breathing your breath. I can't make it without you, but I put everything before you. Help me to turn my life around because I can't do it by myself. And be it known that we'll be praying for you because I thank the Lord. You know the song says somebody prayed for me. Somebody had me on their mind. Somebody took a little time and prayed for me. My mother prayed for me. Maybe your mother didn't pray for you. I don't know, because I didn't come up with my mother. But my grandmother didn't. I'm sure my mother probably prayed too. I don't know all the things that happened in her life, but I have had many mothers. I didn't hold nothing against her because I'm here. And we'll get to learning that sometimes you have anger and unforgiveness in your heart over past hurts. It's over. It's done. Forget those things which are behind. Press, reach. Reach for the mark of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus. But anyway, to God be the glory. To God be the glory. Great things he has done.
I know.